Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Science Faction, the only show where a scientist, a comedian, and a comedian scientist come together to discuss science comedically.
Hello, and welcome to Science Faction 581. Science Faction, amazing cancer discoveries and prior civilizations.
This sounds already like a History Channel news show. Like, I'm not liking it. This doesn't sound super science-y.
You're not too far off in terms of, like, the prior civilizations thing. I don't know that History Channel, like, Ancient Aliens is that far off from what is going on with a lot of that idea.
I swear to God, if your first article is about how cancer is natural and that Big Pharma doesn't want us to cure cancer because it's their customer, whatever batshit crazy thing, or if you're about to get into Ancient Aliens type ancient civilization, Bobby, then I just need to kind of change. See, I got a special guest to read our Patreons this week, and he's supposed to be an anti-science heel.
Oh, he has visited before.
Like, Bobby, I scour the globe for the last 2 weeks for talent to come on here and announce our Patreons, and I think I did a pretty good job this week, but if you're going to just change the theme of the show and make it anti-science, then I think I deserve to know.
I do appreciate when the anti-science heel comes on the show, not necessarily because I believe in the same things he does, obviously I do not, but I do love any time we can get away with a blatant ripoff of Macho Man Randy Savage.
Actually, that one was pretty hard on the wrestler's voice, on his persona, so we might not be getting Macho Man Randy Savage. We'll get something. I kind of got him on the line right now. Do you mind if we knock out the Patreon shoutouts?
Of course, and the person who's going to let you knock out those Patreon shoutouts is none other than your host, comedian archaeologist Robert Timothy. With me, as always, my comedian, Mr. Damian Mercado. Damian, how you doing this afternoon?
I am doing great, especially because, you know, a lot of times for the last 2 weeks, do you realize what I had to do to get Werner Herzog and Jane Goodall on the podcast? I had to pull a lot of strings and a lot of sexual favors dressed up as a chimp.
You were haunting the cast of The Mandalorian, just waiting for Herzog to come out.
I came out in the Mandalorian costume, and because they never take their mask off, he didn't understand. Something has happened. The Mandalorian is perhaps stung by a bee. He seems swollen. Is Pedro Pascal okay? Does he have an allergy?
Also, the body odor is noticeable.
Is that coming from the crotch?
He also moves like a man with gout.
Fuck you. No, but this time it was nice because for once in 3 weeks, the person who's going to be reading these Patreon shoutouts sought me out. He wants a beef with this show. And let me just say, I'm kind of excited because they say, you know, perhaps one way you could judge a man or a podcast or a woman is by the caliber of their enemies. And for a while we've had Steven Novella, but Bobby, what if I told you that there is a young wrestler who just goes by the anti-science heel? And for some of our fans who don't know about the world of wrestling, a heel is an intentional bad guy. He's made to hate him. And he has beef with us.
Well, that would make sense because we are, by definition, pro-science. If he were the anti-science heel, we would be the Iron Sheik to his Hulk Hogan, so to speak.
Yeah, so I think this character's a lot. I can't wait to give him a shot.
All right, well, let's see what he has to say about some of our Patreons. We want to once again thank our Patreons who a bunch of people stepped up. We lost a Patreon recently because we were not promoting ivermectin or climate change denial. And so we lost one, and we let our audience know, and a bunch of people stepped up and said, hey, you guys shouldn't lose money for that. And we have now made more money from that guy losing than we have lost. So special thanks out to all of our audience, especially our Patreons who have stepped up, the ones we mentioned last week and the ones we're going to mention this week. You guys are science fighting heroes. So first one, Eric Montegna.
Anti-science, tell you there? Are you there, Kent?
Oh yeah, it's me. Sorry, I was lighting up a thick cigar and building up a plume of smoke. Oh yeah. Just imagine me blowing it obnoxiously in every one of your nerd science loving faces. And I believe it's Eric Montegna, like the actor. Mr.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
All the brains in the world and all the science you can't even pronounce. A Montania.
I guess I would ask if, much like your brother in Joe Montagna, you only play Italian stereotypes. Like, you have, there's no in between. Like, you can't just be an extra who goes, I don't know who shot the dude. It has to be like, I don't know who shot the dude. Mamma mia!
That is an ugly stereotype. It is very true for that side of my family. Yes.
Literally, he is an ugly stereotype. Like, he is actually the embodiment of every bad Italian stereotype.
Hey, he can play Fat Tony. You can't. All right, you can't. That's their thing.
He plays such an Italian stereotype that despite being in his mid-60s and literally a millionaire as an actor, he still lives with his mother.
Yeah, that's really funny, bashed on Italians. I love that shit. About to wrestle Razor Ramon later. I wrestle him for drugs. And I'm pretty sure he's Latino, but, you know, Italians are the Latinos of Europe. Not counting Spain.
Joe Montana is such an Italian stereotype that he catcalls the flaps on the back of 18-wheelers.
Joe, I know we're family, but you're talking pretty close, even for that.
Joe Montana is such an Italian stereotype that he finds himself mindlessly siding with Nazis.
I'm sorry, Cousin Joe, this wasn't part of the thing, I'm sorry. You know, but hey... You know, let's not throw the baby out with the bathwater, all right? You know, maybe Hitler had some good ideas. I don't know. Yes, I am an anti-science heel praising Hitler on this podcast. That is a good look.
Joe Montana is such an Italian stereotype. Joe Montana is such an Italian stereotype that he occasionally sweats pasta.
Ah, mamma mia, am I right? But let's get back to Eric Montana. I want to thank you personally. Eric Montana, I want you to know you made a powerful enemy by signing up with these yahoos over here. You're supporting science. Well, I want you to know that everything you do, I'm doing something to counteract. That you're supporting the public education of science. Well, guess what? Me and the Samoan SWAT team, as early as 2 months ago, were handing out forged COVID vaccine passports. And by the Samoan SWAT team, I actually mean the SWAT unit in American Samoa. They're a very tough group of guys, and because they're law enforcement, they're very anti-vaccination.
Wow, you have a lot of pull in those communities, huh?
Well, of course, you know, I mean, I go in there, I put on some wrestling shows, I take a couple of their biggest, baddest guys back home, so Vince McMahon will hopefully let me in the league. But let's move on to our next one, I believe. What's his name?
Is it Joe Montana? Because let me tell you something. Joe Montana is...
I'm sorry. Damien, shut the hell up. I'm trying to talk to Bobby.
Joe Montana is such an Italian stereotype that no matter what car he is technically driving, legally speaking, any car he is behind the driver's wheel of is an IROC Camaro.
I thought you were going to say, like, something out of a fucking Godfather or the Bronx Tale or something, like an old Chevy. I don't know. Bobby, what's the Mafia car, would you say?
What's the Mafia? It would have to be, like, either a Lincoln or a Caddy. Like, Caddies. They're, like, big Caddies.
There we go. Imagine my joke bashing on my cousin using that car.
All right, what about our other Patreon, Steve?
Steve, oh, I love it. I love that there's no last name. You're like, you're somebody who is mysterious, like a wrestler who comes out in a mask and body slams and leaves. But because his name is just Steve, it's actually just wearing a bunch of flannel or something. That's the way I picture this character.
See, I think of him as a really cool guy. He's like Steve McQueen. He doesn't need a last name, like Cher. If Cher was Steve McQueen.
Oh, yeah, I remember when Steve McQueen wrestled. Ric Flair was waiting for him in the ring, and it turns out Steve McQueen just hit a ramp real hard and crashed into the middle of the ring, critically injuring Ric Flair with a Mustang fastback. Yeah, it was a dark day for wrestling, but great movie tie-in.
Yeah.
So, Steve, let me tell you. let me just stoke the hole. My cigar went out. Give me 1 second. All right, Steve, I'm telling you right now, you made a big enemy. You're crazier than that Eric Montana guy signing up with these guys, with these yahoos again. Let me tell you, just 2 weeks ago, me and Shawn Michaels took turns body slamming Lawrence Krauss in Arizona and shouting that the earth was flat. And that the earth is flatter, of course, flatter than the stomp job we gave his face. We left him there, and as we walked away, we still could not see any curve. Know what I'm talking about?
Well, the one thing I do like about Steve is that unlike Joe Mantegna, he's not such an Italian stereotype that when he tries to sing the Hawaiian song, Ayo, Ayo, Daylight Come and I Want to Go Home, it just comes out as, Hey, oh, hey, oh.
Is the song trying to fight me? What's happening?
All right, I was told there was one more enemy who I have to go try to put resources, invest my own resources, and take nights off of my own heavy wrestling schedule in order to find and body slam some anti-truth into.
And that would be Mandy.
Ooh, Mandy, you think you could get away from an anti-science beating just because you're a woman? Well, let me tell you something that my three ex-wives will tell you. That ain't gonna save you, sweetie. That's right, Mandy, because as early as yesterday, me and Razor Ramon barged our way into Bill Nye's house, standing in his living room in front of his kids, intimidated him into explaining what 5G was to us. But as soon as he opened his mouth, we chopped him in the throat because we didn't know if he was going to give us 5G poisoning or something, you know, with his crazy science tricks. I saw what he did to Ken Ham. So anyhow, we chopped him in the throat, and while he was sitting there, you know, we just took 5Gs from his wallet. Well, that's not true. He doesn't have that in his wallet. So what we did was, as he was gasping for air, standing in front of his kids, we piled them in his car, not ours, because we wanted to get there without, you know, breaking down or any issues. And we forced him to give us 5Gs out of his ATM.
Well, I guess you got to the bottom of what 5G was.
Yeah. You know, 5G's turned into about 100 grams. Know what I'm talking about? We're running up on noses. Know what I'm talking about? I'm sorry, that's bad math. 5G's will probably get me, Arizona, where Bill Nye lives in. 5G's will get me 500 grams, know what I'm talking about.
Okay.
Or one night on the road, fuel for one night on the road. One great night. All right, everybody. All right, speaking of which, I'm going to go lick the inside of those bags that I got graciously from Mr. Nye. You have a good one, Mandy, Steve, and Eric Montaigne. You will be seeing me in your nightmares and possibly outside of your homes if I could find you.
Oh, dear. Well, thank you so much, Damien. That was a fantastic bit and a fantastic introduction to our new Patreons. And always like it when you're able to get out of a bit quick enough and you don't cling to it needlessly the way Joe Mantegna clings to the Catholic Church as an Italian stereotype. All right, so let's move right on to science articles.
I call.
Ring, ring.
I call BS.
We somehow outscored Mussolini as an enemy of Italy, of the people of Italy.
What are they going to do, throw dough at us? Come on.
That actually doesn't sound too bad.
Yeah, I was going to say. I mean, like, first of all, we all know that they're... the greatest offensive weapon, the plunger, is not going to be too formidable.
That's a deep Mario reference because he didn't actually use a plunger, I guess, except for the movie.
Stereotypes are so much fun when no one gets hurt. Like, it's like just ragging on Italians. Like, man, I really do despise racism and stuff, but this makes me really, in a way, I kind of get it because I would love to just sit on a porch with like three other dudes and make fun of Italians all day.
I'm sure if Fermi was on our podcast, if I channeled a dead scientist and Fermi was here, I'm sure he'd give us the pass. He'd be like, you guys are okay. I get it. No, I get it.
Yeah, well, come after me, Italian Union. Let's see what happens.
The Italian Union, like everybody has to. Yeah, I'm Italian. I pay dues. So I'm allowed to say that, Bobby.
You can get distracted by a hot cousin sooner or later and wander away from this thing, and we both know it. Come on.
You're stealing greasy valor, Bobby. You're not Italian.
All right, article number one, amazing and underreported cancer discovery.
You're leaving us in suspense, Bobby. What is it? I'm probably going to die of cancer in the next 5 years. I'd like some progress.
It turns out it's just no worse than the flu. Yeah. Oh. It's all this cancer hype for the past couple decades. It's a lot of media blowing stuff out of...
I knew it. Cancer was a hoax. Fucking knew it.
No worse than the flu. Okay. No. Very, very interesting. So let's talk about what cancer is first. It's out of control cell growth. So unlike another, you know, disease, like for instance, the virus we're doing now with SARS-CoV-2, there isn't an outside element coming into your body. It's just your body growing out of control. And actually, this happens all the time. All of the time, one particular cell, because you have millions of them in your body, is going to mess up and start growing out of control. But your body has mechanisms to stop that. Your immune system constantly scans by. We have apoptosis, where a cell can actually just kind of like kill itself. We have an entire immune system that's constantly scouring for these things and then just eradicates them. It's the cost of doing business when it comes to like cellular reproduction. However, when that starts growing out of control and your body can't handle it, that becomes cancerous and it can eventually kill you, as we all know. Well, different cancers start different ways. Some have an exterior cause that we can pinpoint very easily. A lot of melanomas are caused by the sun.
Going down on Catherine Zeta-Jones.
Yes, that's right. Throat cancers can be caused by going down on Catherine Zeta-Jones. Maybe other women too, we're not sure.
Michael Douglas has yet to tell us.
As cervical cancers from the same HPV. So we have those outside causes. Obviously, a lot of times lung cancers can be caused by smoking and that kind of stuff. Sometimes it's just, you know, you're more genetically predispositioned, or it's just a genetic destiny, depending on the way your genes are. A lot of different potential causes, but basically it's out of control cell growth. Sometimes those are in the blood in terms of leukemias. Sometimes they're in bone marrow. Sometimes they're in hard tissue, like actual bone. Well, sometimes they're in organs or soft tissue or even the skin. So it can occur in many different places throughout the body in a few different ways, but regardless of what it is, it's out of control cell growth that your body is no longer able to regulate. So we've known for a while about the presence of something called tumor suppressor genes. And these are a series of genes that we have studied that for the longest time, we thought that what they were doing when they got fucked up was basically telling the cells around them, hey, grow as much as you can, grow out of control, just grow like crazy. Because what we saw when these particular genes would get fucked up, we would see cancers and they would be somewhat unique cancers. And so we'd say, hey, look, looks like this cancer is caused by this gene because so many people who have this type of cancer have this gene, and it looks like the specific cause that's going on is this gene, when it's fucked up, is telling the cell to grow out of control. So these are called tumor suppressor genes, and this research has to do with those tumor suppressor genes. Again, we've known about those genes for a long time. There's quite a few of them, and this researcher wanted to study them because they thought something was going slightly different. So what they found with this study, which is, by the way, totally underreported for its importance, is that at least 100 of these tumor suppressor genes actually do something totally different than we thought. They don't tell the tumor grow, 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 grow. They don't make the cells grow out of control. Instead, they prevent the immune system from noticing and killing cancerous cells. So they have nothing to do with regulating growth. They're just hiding growth from the immune system, which is also super important. And that is why we were seeing fucked up versions of this gene cause problems with cancer. It's just not the reason we thought it was. That is super important for a couple of reasons.
So wait, this gene hides cancers. It's like that vacuum sales guy from Breaking Bad. So like, let's just say you're a cancer and you want to avoid the fuzz. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
You order a specialty vacuum from this gene.
I would have gone Frodo, invisible cloak, you know, like hiding from like those dark horseman guys.
You fucking nerd. I'm gonna go play Dungeons and Dragons like a real man.
But this is really important because it would change how we treat this particular type of cancer. For instance, if we know the problem isn't like unregulated growth hormone telling this thing grow, 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 but in fact, it's the issue that is keeping the immune system from recognizing it, well, then we just have to find a way to either A, get the immune system to recognize it, or flip this one gene back, and we've solved that problem. It no longer is just a genetic component. Now we can go, okay, well, we can fight that kind of by stopping the immune system from being tricked, which we have done before. We've actually talked about that before. We talked about how cancer can hide from the immune system, and we talked about something called checkpoint inhibitors. We did, I think, half a show on them at one point, I think. So these are drugs that interfere with proteins that tumors naturally produced to inhibit the immune system. So in a similar way, some cancers will literally release proteins that tell the immune system, hey, shut down, don't fuck with this thing, don't worry about it, blah, 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 blah. Well, we realized this, and about a decade ago, we started putting out for clinical use checkpoint inhibitors, which literally just get rid of those proteins, and now the immune system can see the tumor, and then they fuck those tumors up. There was a very famous case where ex-president Jimmy Carter had melanoma that ended up getting to his brain, and with the use of checkpoint inhibitors, his immune system essentially cleared the cancer out of his body. body and out of his brain, because once the cancer can't hide from that immune system anymore, the immune system was able to handle it by itself. So we've dealt with this idea before, that the cancer is basically tricking our immune system into not recognizing it, and in certain cases, like checkpoint blockers, we've been able to find ways to essentially get around it. We are hoping that will be the same thing with these particular genes, because remember, as of last week, we thought the reason these genes were causing cancer was because they were promoting growth. We now know we were 100% wrong. It's a completely other thing, which means any like non-genetic treatment, anything that wasn't trying to address that gene specifically, anything that was trying to treat it with medicine would have been completely off base. It is probably why it didn't work before and why we've had problems with certain cancers. Whereas now that we do know what's going on, if we can find the equivalent of one of those checkpoint inhibitors, we could take these people who have a, you know, cancer that we have a lot of trouble treating, and we might be able to let their immune systems completely wipe it out themselves.
You know, we talk so often about cancer treatments. Like we tease it, like we talked about most recently. I know this one is still too recent for it to have come out, but throughout the years, we've talked about the mRNA vaccines, having a cancer vaccine.
Yeah.
I feel like we've just been these big cock teases for cancer treatment for like, hey, revolutionary new treatment. But still, cancer is still winning. It's winning the war.
Well, you know, it's funny you bring this up. So I actually did a bunch of research in this because I was curious. I'm like, I wonder what cancer survival rates and stuff have changed and how different they are. Now, there are more cancers now than there ever were. But that is kind of a red herring, because the issue is people are living to be older. And the older you live, the more likely you will eventually get cancer. You know, cancer is inevitable on a long enough timeline, everybody will get it. And so the more people are living longer, we are getting more cancers. Not only that, more people can have availability to be tested and, you know, can find that they have cancer because of medical progress and stuff. But when we look at survivability, like one of the main ways they rate cancer treatment is survivability over 5 years, meaning you get diagnosed and then 5 years later, are you alive or not? And that has gone way up. Honestly, not as much as I would have thought it would have been. Some cancers have been improved dramatically. Some have gotten like really good, where now, you know, if you get it, like prostate cancer is like 99 point something percent survivable in a 5 year span. Like, we have gotten really good at that. There are some cancers that have gotten really good because we were so bad before. Like, we've double or tripled how good we are at their survivability rating, but that's not that much. If you're at like pancreatic cancer, it's like it's gone up from 1970 to now from like 2% to like 6% or something, which is like, again, it's like tripling, but it's like still shitty. But in general, cancer survivability in 5 year diagnosis, 5 year span, has gotten so much better. For a long time, it was really a death sentence, especially if you look longer than that 5 year span. And we have really reversed that with a lot of different cancers, especially when we find early intervention and we notice these things earlier. And there are some cancers where literally 10 years ago, Damien, maybe even when we started the show, they did not have treatments for them, especially some of the complex brain cancers. And we now do. So like, that survivability has gone from like zero up to something that's not zero, you know? So like, yeah, it would be great if cancer was all gone tomorrow, but we are making such huge leaps and bounds. And like, I guess the way to think about this is, if you were a person with literally any cancer, like breast cancer, colon cancer, skin cancer, if you were that person,
Michael Douglas.
Yeah, Michael Douglas. Think of it this way. Like, if you broke your bone today, you might get some better painkillers and some shit like that. But essentially, your treatment isn't going to be that different than if you broke your bone in 1965.
Well, the doctor won't be smoking while he's wrapping my arm.
That's true.
He won't slap the nurse on the ass with an open palm.
That's true. That's very true. But the difference in cancer treatment, it's not even the same thing. Like, before, we were practically doing magic and put some holy water on it and just hope, you know, and now we have real treatments and they don't always work, but we really do have tools in which to fight it. And, you know, I'll tell you what, if I get cancer, I'm fucking happy I live in 2021 and not 1965.
But Bobby, the weed was also shit. No, yeah, there was no. But Bobby, at least it was a less racist time.
I don't even know why you would think that.
Yeah. You know what, Bobby? You could have. Are you just using your cancer to get out of Vietnam?
I mean, the only good thing is, as I've discussed many times when I was a guest on Cult Podcast, you can commit whatever crimes you want in like 1965. Like, you could commit a bunch of crimes, leave your name, blood, fingerprints, DNA, semen there, and just move a county over and get a new social security number and live a totally new life.
Oh, which reminds me, if you're new to the podcast, whatever, some of you are probably from there, but check out the Cult Podcast, the one where Bobby is the Symbionese Liberation Army, that series. Bobby is fucking incredible on it.
If you like
this podcast, you will love that.
Well, thank you very much.
You'll love the podcast, but you also love Bobby's journey there.
Yeah, and it's great too because I love that podcast. I love both of those hosts, and I like listening to it in general. And then I get to listen to myself on it, and every once in a while, me listening as an audience member goes, "Well, that host is fucking crazy."
Well, I mean, because I've grown up with you, so I've known you made bombs or knew how to make bombs. But like sure. People who didn't grow up with you just think that's weird that that you did that as a kid.
I mean, I think that's weird that they think that's weird. I mean. What the fuck did you do with a kid? Like, what?
Because they weren't fucking latchkey kids. They had parents. They had helicopter moms.
That's true. Yeah, go tiger mom that. All right, article number two. Could there have been previously advanced civilizations deep in Earth's history?
I feel like this could be solved with an easy no. Not even like a complicated, like, yeah. No, but.
It's not no, but. It's no and. It's no and you're dumb for asking.
Yeah, yeah. I feel like the anti-science heel got into your show notes. And you just haven't noticed it yet.
Well, so this question has come up a second time in a few years, which we have actually talked about this from a scientific article standpoint. So this time it's reported on in Discover magazine. You can check out this week's article. It's a surrounding paper that purports to look for such signatures like out in the stars as well as here on Earth. And I will say, just like right off the bat, the actual researchers looking at this do not believe there was some previously advanced civilization. This is really more of a hypothetical. This is like a mental exercise. But I think it's super irresponsible that they publish this type of shit all the time because it always comes back with some idiots like reading it wrong. Regardless, we'll get into it. So this whole story started with Gavin Schmidt, who was an Earth scientist and director of NASA's Institute for Space Studies. And he was looking at a Paleo-Eocene thermal maximum, which is about 56 million years ago, where carbon and temperatures went up, the ecosystem was highly disturbed, et cetera, et cetera. And he was talking about this, and he was speaking with Adam Frank, who's an astrophysicist, who was looking to see, like, what would it look like if aliens altered their planets? How do we look for that to be able to see alien signatures in outer space?
Tell me, do we have anything that says Mars was here, like on a mountain or something? Pluto rocks? Nothing like that?
What about a drawing of Calvin pissing on Jupiter?
You know what? What if they actually did what we would have done? They drew a bunch of dicks, but because their anatomy is so much different from ours, we don't know what we're looking at.
These are mountains!
It's too asymmetrical to be a dick.
Not if you mix them all together. I don't know.
That's how they mate.
Well, and basically Adam Frank was talking with Gavin Schmidt and saying, like, what kind of things would we look for? Should we look for previous civilizations on other planets? And, you know, Gavin Schmidt's idea was like, well, what about previous civilizations on our own? And the reasons that you'll hear both in this paper and you'll hear this from a lot of people as to their idea of there might have been previous advanced civilizations. In this case, they're talking 56 million years ago, is they talk about, you know, the crust gets recycled in the planet. And so, you know, rocks aren't always super old. We don't always have old evidence of all these rocks, and there's glaciation and that scrapes stuff over and erosion. And there's these long spans of time and there might not be anything left from something that's that old. And here's the problem. They're just fucking wrong. And, like, there, it comes from, like, a total lack of understanding of what we do know about the past. Like, yeah, crust subsumes usually underneath the ocean floor, but we have, you know, 4 billion-year-old rocks in Canada and places, other places. So we do have places that we can look all the way back into the deep, deep past. And more importantly, 56 million is not actually that old. We have 56 million-year-old rocks everywhere around us. We know what was going on in the Earth 56 million years ago. There was no other species we didn't see just magically show up, right? And we see the evolution of all the things that live there, and we see the way they act, and there are no metals or pottery or fucking houses or advanced satellites or all any of the stuff you would need to be quote unquote an advanced civilization. And while yes, a lot of that would go away after 56 million years, a lot would not. I mean, we still have stone tools that are millions of years old. We're talking about very simple stone tools. If you're talking about much more advanced civilizations, then even your small local, like 200 person town nowadays will leave something that will be around in millions of years. Be those, you know, plastics, the fact that we alter our very atmosphere with things like lead and nuclear radiation that wouldn't exist without us, and we create chemicals like chlorofluorocarbons that wouldn't exist without us, and we'll be around for a long time, and we'll be able to see those, and, you know, ice core records and things like that. Like, we have this idea that the past is this super mysterious time, and there's mysterious stuff about it. We don't know, you know, what color skin is on the animals at that time.
I imagine it was really fucking boring, like, overall. Like, nothing happened. Yeah, Glug died of cancer.
Well, 56 million years ago, you know, the asteroid only hit 10 million years before or so, and you still have a lot of radiation of mammals out into weird niches and stuff. I'm sure there'd be some interesting biology going on. But if there was anything advanced, we would know it. Because guess what? Those things would have to evolve. And much like hominid evolution took millions and millions of years, that would take millions and millions of years too. And oh, by the way, then we'd see them using stone tools. And then we'd see them using more advanced tools. And then we'd see them using metallurgy. And then we'd see them having industrial revolution. Like, this idea that we wouldn't have the evidence, it's just from people who don't understand the evidence that we do have of what happened in the past.
We have the evidence. It's just locked away in Atlantis, Bobby. Why? Ugh. It's so frustrating talking to you. King Poseidon won't share his notes with us.
Now, obviously, these researchers are just saying this as like an example of like, oh, look, here's what we would look for in terms of looking at other alien planets and blah, 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 blah. And here's a fun little thing to study. And we looked at it. We don't see these changes and blah, 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 blah. However, whether you're talking Graham Hancock or nutty ancient aliens, this idea is very pervasive in pseudoscience cultures about advanced civilizations long before us. They don't exist. They couldn't have existed. We would know about it. We know about obscure civilizations on Polynesian islands in the middle of the ocean that died out 1,000 years ago. You know how? Because we could check the record. The reason we know so much about the past is because we have the ability to reference these records. It's the reason we go to any place on Earth and you can talk to local archaeologists and be like, what was going on here 1,000 years ago? And they can tell you because they were studying that thing. And there isn't some weird period where all of a sudden like, oh shit, where did all these super advanced tools and stuff like that come from? We have no idea. It's 56 million years old. That doesn't exist.
Well, maybe what made them so advanced was that they were so ecological. Everything was biodegradable. Their iPhones,
yeah.
Completely biodegradable.
Yeah. It's like how I had a stand-up bit for a while about how history lied to us, because now we know that, like, you know, on average about 10% of people are gay, but in history they never seem to talk about the gays. And I argued that it's actually, as an archaeologist, I think we don't know much about the gays because they're a very clean people and they don't litter much. And if you don't litter, archaeologists don't know about you.
The only way you can tell that a gay household or somebody gay from an older civilization was there was if there was a bunch of chihuahua poop or something around. Or,
despite being in the early Paleolithic, this guy had fantastic teeth and nails.
This cave is decorated so much better than all the other caves in the neighborhood.
Dear. Thank you, audience, for coming back for Science Faction 581, where you learned all about an amazing and underreported cancer discovery and why there could not have been previous advanced civilizations deep in Earth's history. Thank you so much for joining us, and come on back next week for Science Faction 582.
Bad news, Steve, Mandy, and Eric Montaigne. I found out where you live. I just found out about a little thing called the internet. I also found out about a guy called Q. Me and him are gonna talk. I'm gonna do my finisher on you. And that's why I have a bunch of ivermectin before the match. And then shit my intestinal lining on your front porch.
You've been listening to Science Function. Wait, that's not right.